Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglia along with Mario Jerez, who's running things behind the scenes, coordinating and supervising. So we appreciate all his efforts. Just want to tell everybody in the 4 o'clock hour at around 4:25, we'll have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave. Well, Hall will join us, and Coach will talk to us about everything leading up to game one and also how the practice sessions are going. I always like to hear coaches talk about, you know, guys that sometimes it's a freshman that you didn't think would be that good, and all of a sudden, man, he shows up practice to practice. So we'll get Coach Hall's comments on that, and that 5'10". Deuce McAllister will join us from California, where the Saints had a brief walkthrough today after the padded practice and WWE-type fights yesterday with the Dallas Cowboys, and talk to him certainly about Alvin Kamara. Deuce has had a myriad of knee injuries throughout his, especially his pro career. And I've talked to a couple of orthopedic surgeons during the day today about the time frame for a sprained MCL. And they all sort of agree it's going to be that 4 to 5 weeks, which would push it most likely into the early part of the season. But you want him well. And, hey, listen, injuries happen. This is a violent sport out there. This ain't high school football. It's a lot tougher than that. And so we'll get Deuce's thoughts on that and also the padded practices that they went against the Cowboys. And then tomorrow they go up against the Rams, which should be an adventure. I don't know how much Matt Stafford will throw the football, but they'll get to see a lot of Ty Simpson wing it. And, boy, did he have a great start to his NFL career in game one of preseason. Ty just looks so poised back there, throwing the football and making everything work for that Rams offense. And, you know, he doesn't have tremendous pressure on him. You never know with injuries. I mean, that is something that's going to happen in this league. And it happens to every team, not just the Saints, everybody. And you never know when you get called upon. But, you know, you see a guy like Ty Simpson, how well he picks things up, and he's poised and he's smart, and he has not let, I guess, the glamour of being the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, he was a star player for Alabama. I don't know how good they would have been last year without him, because they had really not much of a running game at all. And he sort of carried that team on his back as far as he could. And so I'm interested to see that and his future down the line. But Saints, Rams in practice tomorrow, and we'll get Deuce's thoughts on that. And at 5:35, we'll have one with us, Glenn West, who covers the LSU Tigers. And, man, it's closing in on game one as the Tigers play the Clemson Tigers. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. Man, everywhere you go, everybody asks the same thing, the exact same thing about, man, well, what do you think? What do you think about the Tigers this year? So not only locally, but nationally, took a trip to Nashville and got to talk to a few people there, and they were the same way. Man, what Lane Kiffin's going to do with the Tigers? So it's not only a Louisiana deal or Ole Miss and Mississippi deal, but it's also all across the Deep South and the country. Also, today we want to wish my old tag team partner, Bobby Hebert, a happy birthday. 66 years old today and 66 years young, because his mind is much younger than the age. And so we want to wish the Cajun Cannon a happy birthday today. He isn't joining us, but I know he's always listening, and we appreciate everything he does here for the station. And great guy in life, and really always helpful to people. And I've seen him stay for, I can tell you, like a half an hour, 45 minutes after a show, taking pictures and, you know, signing autographs. So we wish the Cajun Cannon a happy birthday. And coincidentally, one of his best friends in life, Martin Anderson, the Great Dane, born the same day, same year. They were hours apart. I think Martin's a few hours earlier, so he would be a little bit older than the Cannon by just a few hours. But both guys, and Martin, what an unbelievable kicker here for the Saints, and just a great guy also, and what he did for the city, and what he's done for the kicking game. And, you know, he mentors a lot of young kickers now coming out of college, and even guys that are trying to get into the NFL to try to help them. And, you know, he was one of the few guys that he would sort of go to different people about the positive thinking of life and kicking the field goal. And he would mentally kick it before he ever physically kicked it. And so I want to wish Bobby and also the great Dane Martin Anderson, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, happy birthday today. Both guys meant so much to the city. And also so much to our community. Today, an interesting thing that a judge ruled, and he had has granted a temporary restraining order to Ole Miss star defensive lineman Xavier Harris, who the Saints signed, and he had surgery with his foot. And so I'm not sure how far along he is in that rehab. And their tight end, former tight end, Daquan Wright, along with LSU defensive end Jack Pyburn, a temporary restraining order to get a fifth year of eligibility. And, man, if I'm a coach out there and if Xavier Harris is healthy, or Wright and Pyburn, I want them on my team. Crazy thing is Daquan right now is with the Cleveland Browns trying to fight for a roster spot. And Jack Pyburn, last week against the Jets, he got two quarterback sacks for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this is something that has been going on for a while to try to get a release that, you know, you get that fifth year of eligibility. And so judges ruled that you get a temporary restraining order and have that opportunity. Will they take advantage? Well, you didn't file the lawsuit if you didn't think you would get that advantage. And how many teams now will start a run to try to get Xavier Harris, Jack Pyburn, Daquan Wright on their football team at the present? And again, the strange thing about it is it's really unusual that both Pyburn and Wright are in NFL camps today and could get that restraining order and play college football in just a couple of weeks. Man, is the world we live in with a lot of legalities all across the board. But all three guys, along with a number, I think it was a grand total of 15, got that particular deal to have a temporary restraining order. And they could play another season of college football. And we're just a couple of weeks away. And, you know, we talked to Frank Selfo yesterday about, you know, their game is next week. Nichols State has a game next weekend against Mississippi Valley. And, man, it is closing fast. And now you got another little group of what you want to call free agent players out there. And we'll see how that works out for these young men. Hey, we'll take a break and come back with the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, Will Hall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelier. Today, riding this with Mario Jerez, who taking care of things behind the scenes, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, Will Hall. Coach Hall, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing good, Mike. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
Coach, we both grew up in the South. I don't know if we're getting old or what, but, man, it seems to have been an unusually hot August. And, you know, we went through that wave. Have you done anything different from a practice standpoint? Man, the heat and humidity, it does take its toll on you. And when you're halfway into camp, man, those guys, whew, man, I'm ready for the first game. This practice is killing me.
No doubt, man. We're in our third week, which is, you know, our third week of camp, but also we're still 3 weeks out from playing a game. And one blessing we have is we built that indoor facility right here on campus, bubble. And like a lot of, you know, big Power Four teams that have that, they'll do half their practice outside and half indoors just to be able to sustain that heat. And we've been able to do that too. We've done several practices where we start outside and then we'll finish inside. And that's been a huge advantage for us. And then we still go to the Saints from time to time. It's such a great resource for us. It's really cool for the players, you know, to be in that environment and be around those people because that's what they all aspire to do. We certainly appreciate them for that. But that's a few things we've done to try to manage it.
Can you imagine as a college player and you get to practice at an NFL facility? Man, how cool is that if you're a college player?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, the great Willie Fritz used to say all the time, we've never had a bad practice at the Saints. And it's so true. You know, from being here with him and then last year with Coach Summerall and now myself as the head coach, like, when you go over there, you never have a bad practice. And, shoot, I don't blame them. I remember my first time here as an OC at 19. I was warming up the quarterbacks there, and I looked over to my right, and there was a big picture of Archie Manning. And I was like, crap, man, I'm sitting here warming up next to Archie Manning's picture. Let's freaking go, you know.
That's great. Coach, I think every year you don't know how freshmen, adapt to the college game. It's a pretty smooth transition for them, and they look like they belong. Others, it takes a little while. And it's almost, I guess, like being a teacher and teaching somebody math today. Some people get it right off the bat. Others, it does take a while. Has there been a few freshmen that have really stood out for you that you think can help you pretty quickly this season?
Yeah, I think number one would be Jordan Kreitz, a freshman D lineman out of Texas. He's a guy that's really big and long and plays with extreme effort. Keyshawn Coleman at wide receiver has been a freshman that's really showed up and played really well. Trace Johnson at quarterback, he's behind some older guys that are just a little ahead of him because of time on task. But obviously he can really play. Jake Randall's a young running back out of Newman right here in the city that's had a good fall camp. Myron Jean at safety, Dylan Brasher at linebacker. So we signed a great group of young guys. We really did. Caden Dees on the D-line. And but, you know, with that, Mike, I think it's what we always say is there's positions where you're always attacking, where no matter what the play call is, you're attacking, like wide receiver and D-line. Whatever the play call is, you've got your assignment. And then there's reactionary positions like O-line and secondary and linebacker where you really don't know what you're doing until after the ball snaps. You have to fit it correctly based off what the other side does. That's a little harder transition for high school kids because, like, a high school O-lineman's going to have three or four run schemes and maybe one pass protection versus one front and maybe two blitzes all game. Then they get to college and they've got seven run schemes, eight protections versus five fronts and 10 different blitzes. You know, so it's just a drastic change from high school to college a lot of times.
Yeah, especially for the linemen. I agree with you totally on that. I know you get asked this all the time. Anytime any interview comes up at the quarterback situation with Zion, Chris Gramillion, and Caden Samanza, and early on, maybe at got some reports that Caden wasn't really quite in the groove early on, but boy, he's heated up now. And so how does your quarterback situation look like now? And I know you've told me in the past you don't mind playing two quarterbacks if you have to, or even three if you have to. The objective to this game is to win.
There's no doubt. I've won three conference titles as a head coach playing two in my past, but you know, you'd like to have that one guy that takes the reins. The good thing we've got going for us is both guys are playing at a high level. You know, it's not a deal where we haven't named a starter because we don't feel good about a guy. The reason we haven't named a starter is because we really feel good about both of them. And we feel like they deserve the opportunity to go all the way through this week of fall camp. And Mike, they're both playing really well. They really are. They're doing some great things. Caden's operating at a really high level. He's running the ball well. Obviously, everybody knows Zion's a great runner, but he's also operating at a high level. So both of them are playing well, and we got three more practices this week before we flip over into Duke, and we're looking forward to watching them compete these last 3 days.
Coach, I'd be remiss, and, man, I'd catch Hal Hill on the bayou if I don't ask you about him, but that's Jalen Lucas. I gave Gary Smith the business. He was like, Mike, he's an Edna Carr guy. I said, what? He played 1 year at Edna Carr. Man, he grew up on the bayou, man. Come on, Gary. And so he said, Mike, you're absolutely right about him. I'll be honest with you, Coach. I've done this over 40 years. He's the most electrifying guy I've ever seen as an offensive high school player here on the bayou. His ability to hit it and get it, and not a lot of dudes that can do that. Now, he ain't the biggest guy in the world, but you talk about a dude that can run, and I know he'll help you out tremendously on special teams. That is a big plus for him. But how – do you have packages for him where he'll play running back and wide receiver? Because I remember one game that he played, and they had 57 snaps. He touched it 56. The only time he didn't touch it, they snapped it directly to the halfback on a play to try to confuse him. But, man, I know he's not big in a package, and that second number is most likely a 7. He's 170-something, but you talk about a guy who is electrifying. He gets out in the open field, and nobody going to catch him.
No doubt. For all the Saints fans listening, you know, he can be a very two-lane version of Darren Sproles. You know, that's what we look at him as. He's a guy that will be in the backfield. He'll be in the slot. We call it the super back position, which, you know, is very much what Sean Payton used Sproles as, and Reggie Bush, and Alvin Kamara, and those types. So that's what Jalen is for us. You'll see him in the slot. You'll see him in the backfield. You'll see him, you know, kick returning, punt returning, and a great attitude. He's so happy to be back home. He wants to finish well with his college career. And like you said, man, he played, you know, Terrebonne, and then comes to comes over to Edna Carr and plays for Bryce Brown at Carr. And man, he's been kind of been around the world and back in his college career, and he's proud to be back home and help us do something special in his city and in his area.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. His family thinks the world of you, and they are so glad that he is back home. I'm going to tell you that. They really thrilled that he's back, and they think that you be able to utilize him the way maybe I think we all thought would happen when he came out of Terrebonne and Edna Carr. A little bit about your offensive line, because that's an area where injuries do happen more than any other spot. You've got some guys who have a little experience and a few starters, but to me, that's the key to any offense. Yeah, you got to have a great quarterback, but you got to win up front. So a little bit about your offensive line play.
Yeah, you know, we've got really more depth than we had last year. We don't have as much experience playing, you know, time on task, but we got a lot of guys that were heavily recruited and have a lot of potential. We got to get them there faster. You know, with Dom Stewart and Ryan McCoe at tackle, Ryan was a transfer from Boston College that played really well there. He's had a great spring and fall camp. Dom Stewart is a guy that's been in our program. He'll be going on year 3. And is a really talented young man. It's his time. John Bach at center was one of the better group of 6 O-linemen in the country in the portal 2 years ago out of FIU. He was pushing to start for us last year before an injury. So he's played a lot in his past as an older guy. And then Gresham Perry's a young guy, man. You know, from the Lafayette area that redshirted last year, who's got a bright future at guard. And then, of course, we got Reese Baker back, who was one of the better old linemen in our league last year, started every game for us. And then we got a ton of depth behind that. You know, we got some young guys that they know it's their time to play. We brought in Gavin Marks at center, who was an FCS All-American. He's still a young guy. You know, you got Tristan Fortenberry at tackle, Juels Baptiste from St. Aug at tackle, and some more young guys that are battling right there. You know, to be in the mix. Got 2 young O linemen, AJ Amos at guard and Tylan George at guard. Tylan's from West Monroe, that great program, and our true freshmen, they're going to be really good players.
Your young defensive coordinator, I remember last year, Coach O telling me about this, and he had went to a number of the practices, and he was like, hey, AT boy, that guy can coach. He got a lot of vigor to him. How has that went with him, his first time as a defensive coordinator? He was the linebackers coach for you last year. But the team knows him. He play, you know, he coaches with a lot of fire and a lot of energy. And so I know, you know, you can't coach both sides of the football. And your specialty is certainly on offense. But the new DC, and it's new to him too.
Yeah, you know, Taylor is an unbelievable human being. Everybody that's ever around him, they talk about his energy, like Coach O talked about, his ability to relate with the players. He is young, but he's extremely football smart. He was an overachiever as a player, and our players love him. And one thing, Mike, you'll see, man, we will play like our hair's on fire on defense. They will play their tail off on defense. And we've surrounded him with some older people to help him. Nate Fuqua's been a long-time D coordinator. Brian Whitehead's been a long-time D coordinator. So, but man, our players love Taylor. I love Taylor and believe in him. And all great coaches had to get their first shot somewhere, baby. And, you know, I've heard a lot of good young DCs in my past, and I certainly think he's got a chance to be one, too.
Last question for you. You were fortunate that you didn't have a huge amount of losses in the NIL transfer portal system, but losing punter and kicker. I think anytime that happens, you know, there's some uncertainty there. So tell all Green Wave fans how you feel about the punting and place kicking situation.
Yeah, you know, that's a spot. I'm glad you brought it up. That's a spot that a lot of people forget to talk about. And we lost two phenomenal players there. One good thing is we got our snapper back, Jason Arredondo. He'll be his second year snapping for us. He's really good. We've got William Hudlow, who's been in our program as a punter out of Jesuit. And then we signed Brooks Moore, a true freshman, was the number 5 rated punter in the country by Coles Kicking. They've been competing all fall camp, and, man, they've really improved. Now that we got to do it in games right there. That's an inexperienced spot where we've got to continue to push them and grow them and get the most out of them. But I have been pleased with their growth in fall camp. At kicker, Cooper Helmke's back out of St. Martin's right there in town right there. He redshirted last year. He's got an unbelievable leg and a bright future. And then we brought in Jackson Corville, who was a great kicker at Ball State, and then went to Ohio State and actually got on the field there for them. He's an extremely driven kid. They've had great competition. I've been really pleased with how they kick. Now, we got to do it live, you know. But last week in our red zone lockout drill with a lot of pressure on them, we made all our field goals, so that was good to see. We're putting pressure on both groups every day, trying to simulate games. And we like what they're doing, but we got to get it done on game day, too.
Yeah, it doesn't pay that you can kick in practice but can't kick in a game. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it. And, man, once the season starts, you and I will talk weekly on our Tulane Tuesday segment, and be glad to do it. And we wish you the best of luck. Stay healthy, Coach.
You got it, Mike. Appreciate talking to you guys, man. Roll wave.
Thank you so much. The head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, Will Hall, and once the season start, every Tuesday afternoon, Coach Hall will join me, and we'll talk Tulane football. Man, that's coming right around the corner. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. You know, growing up in South Louisiana, there were certain vehicles I always noticed when they drove by. A Cadillac always stood out. It meant quality, success, and American craftsmanship. Today, that tradition is stronger than ever at Trap Cadillac Chevrolet in Houma. Whether you're looking at the legendary Escalade, the refined XT5, or one of Cadillac's impressive new luxury models, you'll find it at Trap. Just great people there. Hometown service in a dealership that's been earning trust for generations. Stop by Trap Cadillac Chevrolet in Houma. That's Trap Cadillac Chevrolet in Houma. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottorio along with Mario Harris running things behind the scenes. I know we've had a few texts about when we'll have Deuce McAllister on. Deuce will come on at 5:10. Talk about basically pajamas and slippers walkthrough today after the practice yesterday with the Cowboys, and looking forward to what's going to happen tomorrow in the padded practice against the L.A. Rams, and how the Saints stack up against the Rams. But yesterday, boy, Tyler Shuck and Chris Olave, they were hot. And they talk about some big plays. We'll talk about that to Deuce when he comes on at 5:10 about the Saints and also the injury situation. Like I mentioned, when we started the show, Deuce has had quite a few knee injuries in the past, and so he could relate to what the sprained MCL and how kind of the time frame with coming back from that. And also, too, we haven't heard yet exactly how long Quincy Riley, the cornerback, will be out with a groin injury. And normally that's just not a week. That's weeks plural coming back from that. So we'll see what happens. I think the Saints were sort of jackpot lucky here when Martin Emerson was available late in the process coming off the Achilles injury. And I know Deuce and I talked about this in practice. The first couple of days, he looked sort of shaky. And I can understand that coming off that Achilles injury. But he has really, really picked it up, you know, since then. And you could tell he looks a lot like the guy that I saw playing with the Cleveland Browns, where, okay, they were going to pick on him because of the guy on the other side. But Martin Emerson Jr. could be a real savior here for this team, that you've got a guy with experience. He's a little different player than Quincy Riley in that he loves the physicality part of the game. He loves to kind of bump and run you and throw you off your route and kind of mess up the timing quite a bit downfield. So Saints are fortunate with Martin Emerson Jr., and he's had some really good practice sessions. Like I say, early on, and I could certainly understand it, coming off that major injury. And I remember when you had an Achilles injury, that was a career killer at one time. Absolutely a career killer. Not anymore. Guys are coming back. And with Emerson, it was less than a year that he was back from the Achilles injury. So Saints are fortunate that you got some experience there. And that's not a lot of cornerbacks out there with their hands in the air and saying, hey, sign me. I'm ready to play. You know, those guys are few and far between that can do it at a high level. Or if you're talking about being a starter or a number three guy in this league, because you play nickel coverage, I think the number's like 76% of the time in the NFL. So you three quarters of a starter when you're the third corner on any NFL football team. We'll be back to finish it up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk, finishing up our number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Want to thank Tulane head football coach Will Hall for joining us and repeating when football season starts, we will have Tulane Tuesday, and Coach Hall will be on with us every Tuesday afternoon to talk Greenway football and who he played and who he's fixing to play. So great to have Coach Hall back on a weekly basis. And we've done it for so many years. It started with Willie Fritz, and then Coach John Sumrall also was able to do it with us all those years he was here. And now Coach Hall takes over. Want to tell everybody at 5:10, Deuce McAllister from California will be joining us to talk about the Saints, talk about the injury to Alvin Kamara, Quincy Riley, and the upcoming practice session against the L.A. Rams as the Saints play the Rams this coming Saturday. And pregame starts at 11 a.m. right here on the Big 870 WWL. And then the point after with the Cajun Cannon, the birthday boy, will be doing it and summarizing what he saw as the Saints play the Rams. And at 5:35, it will be Glenn West covers the LSU Tigers for Bengal Tiger on 3. Will be joining us to talk Tiger football and highly anticipated first game. And if you think that one is anticipated, wait till you get to game 3. And when they play Ole Miss, I don't know how they're going to handle that security-wise. Coach Kiffin might have to be in the Pope Mobile for that, but we'll see what goes on. But you got to win the first one against Clemson. I think that's critical. A lot of people, it's a given. Clemson's not what they used to be, but they are still a football team that's formidable. And right now, if I had to put out my top 32 for the NFL draft for 2027, they'd have two players in that list. So that goes to show you it's not null and void for the Clemson Tigers. Hey, we'll have a lot more Saints talk and LSU talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll go to news and then come back, and Deuce McAllister will join us from California to talk Saints-Rams practice tomorrow.